A troubling day, grandson? You should not go to sleep with anger in your heart.
I hate those boys from the trader's caravan. Every time they come through town, they start fights. Don't they know we are God's chosen people? I wish the desert would swallow them up.
You know that I am very old. You are the son of the son of the son of my son. And I have seen all these sons learn to hate before they learn to love. And so it is with you. But it is time for you to learn that vengeance belongs only to God, and that your anger does you harm. Thus did Jonah learn.
Jonah? But he was swallowed by a great fish, and God saved him, for he was God's prophet.
The story of Jonah is not about being eaten by a fish, my boy. It is about learning to love life and to put God's plan before your own desires.
All the elders tell the story. God saved Jonah from the belly of the fish because Jonah prayed.
Perhaps God saved Jonah because Jonah still had a lesson to learn. Jonah's story is as deep as the sea. I know, for I spoke to him at a desert oasis when I was a much younger man, only 508 years old. Another 100 years have passed. Jonah is gone. And I will tell you now what Jonah told to me. Now close your eyes, breathe slow and deep, and listen. Jonah lived near Nazareth. People took care of him, saw that he was supplied with food, water, and wine, saw that his firewood supply was kept up, left a few coins in his purse. Wild-eyed, Jonah would tell his visitors what God had spoken. Usually it was the stuff of law, of the commandments. But it was Jonah who foretold that Israel would take her lands back from Assyria. And so it was. Jonah hated the Assyrians with a passion that was frightful. Something in his past. When Israel retook her lands, Jonah became more like a normal man. He visited. He raised some sheep. He helped others with the shearing. But one day, he heard the voice of God again.
Jonah. Jonah.
Jonah. Go you now to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. For their wickedness has come up before me.
Jonah heard the Lord tell him to go to the capital of Assyria and put the fear of God into the Assyrians for their worship of false gods and their evil ways. Jonah still hated the Assyrians, and he was sure that God would just forgive them after giving them a good scare. Jonah wanted no part of it. He thought to slip away when God wasn't looking.
Why should I go into the land of my enemy just to help the Lord frighten them into being good? They deserve their deaths. I have my life to live. God is watching Nineveh. I'll go to Tarshish, as far as ships have ever gone. I'll find my peace across the sea.
He walked away from his Nazareth hut and made his way to the sea and the ships.
A ship for Tarshish? Who is bound for Tarshish?
We are bound for Tarshish, stranger. Always room for one who can pay his way. On the run? You have a hunted look about you.
I just need to get away. I hear the land around Tarshish is full of trees, and and fruit and nuts. I've had my fill of Israel.
Well then, fill my hand with shekels and get aboard. We leave upon in tide.
And Jonah went aboard. Tired from many days walking, he went below deck and curled up in his robes on a pile of hay for the goats. Jonah slept, and the ship moved out with the tide. Some hours passed, but still in sight of land, the ship began to pitch and toss in growing waves as a great wind rose and swirling clouds blackened the sky.
Lighten our load! Throw all the cargo overboard!
Oh, mighty Poseidon! Let your fury not drown, but we'll save the worshipper!
Captain! Passenger sleeps below! We need his help!
Keep her headed into the wind and keep bailing! I'll rouse our passenger!
Wake up! Wake up! What's happening?
How can you sleep? A mighty wind tears at my ship, and we cannot last! You must help my crew. At least call on your god to spare our lives! Rise! Come to the deck and help us fight the storm! Our prayers are all in vain! The storm grows worse!
Look yonder! The sea is calm! The storm is centered on our ship!
Cast your lots! We must be told what we can do to live!
The star is here for all of us! Here in my purse I have my lots! Gather around the tiller man and let me ask the gods which one of us is target of the storm!
The crewman shook the pouch of lots and raised his eyes unto the sky. Aji Dahaka, answer me, I beg. Who is the one the storm is come to take? And cast the lots out from the pouch onto the deck. The stone marked stranger fell beside the stone marked death. The stones for journey, life and peace slid to one side. The stone for fate fell in between. And the other seven stones fell blank side up. The crewmen read the message clear.
You are the one, passenger! Who are you that this evil strikes us all?
What is your occupation?
What is your country? Where do you come from? What tribe are you? I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land.
What have you done?
I traveled to Tarshish to escape the notice of my Lord.
You mock the power of your God to find you anywhere on earth.
You bring peril to us all! Your evil on our heads!
What can we do to satisfy your God, whose power is most great?
The storm grows worse about us!
Do take me up! And throw me to the sea! Give the storm that which it seeks! The wind and waves will leave your ship afloat! I brought this storm upon you, this I know. I'll take it with me when I go. It is not brave nor right to kill a man without a fight!
And all the oars and pull for shore! See it? Beyond the storm?
The waves push back more fiercely than we know! It's no use!
Pray to the Hebrews, God, we beg you, Lord!
Let us not perish, Lord of Israel. This one Hebrew's life.
Spare us. Spare us, sustain a murder, Lord. Your power is great. We cannot fight.
The Hebrew God must be obeyed. He wants this Jonah overboard.
Come to the rail, my passenger. I will buy many goats with your shekels and make great sacrifice to your God. To kill you makes me fear. But still, to save my crew and save myself, I must do as you bid and give you to the storm. Farewell. Be gone!
And into the raging waters Jonah fell and sank. And with his sinking did the storm subside. The tattered ship lay still upon the sea, while crew and captain prayed their promises of worship to the Hebrew God and sacrificed a goat, for all their other cargo was long lost. And then they rowed for shore to tell their tale. And Jonah held his breath and wished for life and drifted down beneath the glassy sea until a darkness came upon him and swallowed him alive. 3 days and nights was Jonah in the belly of the beast beneath the sea.
Oh, Lord! I was troubled and lost and near death, but far from heaven as I sank into the sea. I turned my back upon you, Lord. In accepting my punishment, most greatly did I regret that I would not again see thy glory on earth nor in heaven. And my soul cried out for your mercy. Your mercy brought me into the belly of this fish, where I burn and suffer, but yet have life. Oh, no power can possibly have saved me from the sea. Deliverance cometh only from the Lord.
God saw that Jonah, in his suffering, understood that doing God's will was the way to deliverance from evil. And the great fish rushed into the shallows by the shore and gasped, and Jonah tumbled to the stones and sand upon the beach. His skin looked like a newborn babe's, all pink and white and hairless. The sun burned on his body like hot oil, and the wind upon his skin hurt like a lash, but Jonah lived. A herdsman saw him spat out from the sea, and took him to his village, and told what he had seen. And travelers told the story far and wide, and mixed it with the tale the sailors told. And so the story grew of God's delivering Jonah from the belly of the whale. The village fed and clothed the prophet, who spoke not, but smiled, and made the signs of blessing at their hospitality. A few days since the belly of the whale, and Jonah sat in shade and prayed and heard again the voice of the Almighty God of Israel, which spoke to him and said,
Go now, Jonah, to Nineveh, and make the people listen to the words that I will give for you to say.
And so the prophet in his ragged beggar's robes did walk for many days to Nineveh, and then began to cry the message of the Lord. And since the story of his miracle had come to Nineveh before him, Jonah was well heard, as were the words of God he did proclaim.
In 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown. Your evil ways do stink of sacrifice to your false gods and idols. The stench of broken law rises to heaven's gate. The Lord will bear no more. Your lives are at an end. In 40 days, your judgment is at hand. Where are your false gods, Ninevites? In 40 days shall Israel rejoice.
There was the ring of truth to Jonah's words. The people feared their fate and did repent. And, too, their king did hear the prophecy. And he, too, did believe. The king proclaimed that only by the prayers of all might God turn from his anger. And so it came to pass. The Lord saw the repentance and the changing of their ways, and God himself repented that he planned to take their lives. The end of 40 days, and no disaster. Weak from their fast, the Ninevites did dare to lift their eyes and smile at friends, and kept their prayers and their obedience to God's few laws, for a time at least. And Jonah was not happy at the mercy of the Lord. His heart still carried hatred great for the Assyrians. They did not merit mercy from the Lord. Jonah felt that his life was waste, for he had helped the Ninevites escape the slaughter they deserved. Jonah prayed in his anger, and he said,
I pray thee, Lord, is not this what I did for sea when I was yet at home? For that is why I did make haste to flee afar to Tarshish. For I did know thou art a gracious God, merciful and slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and sorrowing at evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take my life from me, I beg, for I would rather die than live with knowing the Assyrians live also, with my help.
Jonah, do you do well to be angry? Consider what you have learned in your troubles to do my bidding.
Jonah walked eastward out of the city. He made a canopy of a robe and some sticks and sat in its patch of shade. He felt that God had taken away his freedom to be himself, had him thrown into the sea, had him swallowed by a monster, had him spat up on shore to put the fear of God into his enemies, only to see them spared. While Jonah thought, God made a plant grow o'er his head to give Jonah more shade, for the sun did burn his whitened skin. Then God sent a worm to kill the plant, and it withered and gave Jonah no more shade. And a hot wind blew, and Jonah, still waiting to see if the people of Nineveh would return to their wicked ways and be punished, felt sick and ready to die. He raised his voice to God and said,
It is better for me to die than to live. My enemies live. The innocent plant, which did only good to me, was made to die. Let my death come to me as well.
Do you do well to feel anger that the plant did die? You pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow. It came to life overnight, and overnight again it did die. You want mercy for a plant.
The plant had only a taste of life.
Should your God not have mercy on the great city of Nineveh, where more than 120,000 persons lived their simple and unknowing lives, where many cattle live, needing care and feeding from these people? Is your God's mercy to these lives not right?
Yes, life is precious.
And Jonah knew at last that life is most precious, and loving mercy is God's blessing. His hatred for the Assyrians melted away with the setting of the sun. He knew to hate only the doing, not the doer. Jonah walked his lonely walk to Nazareth and spent his days in quiet, telling visitors to follow God's laws and commandments, and to love all life and love the Lord. And deep beneath the waves, a monster swam its own small life, unknowing of the role it played in bringing Jonah closer to his Lord. And the waves rolled on, like sleep rolls o'er your thoughts, grandson. Sleep and dream of life.